The readings for Lent from the Hebrew Bible take us on a journey through the history of God's acts of salvation. We move from last week's reading about Eve and Adam to God today establishing a covenant with Abraham and promising him great blessing. And you'll note that at this point in the story, he's just called Abram. Reading from Genesis chapter 12, beginning at the first verse, listen for the word of God. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. So ends the reading.
In his encounter with Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses the metaphor of being born from above to describe salvation. Reading from John 3, verses 1 through 17. Listen again for God's word.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.
Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.
Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?
Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be?
Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It's not for nothing that Nicodemus, the influential Pharisee, goes to Jesus under cover of darkness when the streets are empty and there's no one to see, no one to report that this respected religious leader has gone seeking that troublemaking rabbi, Jesus. No, it's not incidental that it's nighttime, because Nicodemus isn't ready for the bright light of day. He isn't ready to be outed as a Jesus follower, to make a commitment, to even let others suspect that he's just even interested in this young teacher. But he is ready, it seems, to know more. He is brave enough to go find Jesus, even if he tries to stay hidden, Nick at night. Curious, Nick. Curiosity is a valuable trait. And we've been told that it killed the cat, but it also discovered how to make fire. It discovered that germs carry disease and that antibodies and simple hygiene can fight disease. Of course, curiosity split the atom with very mixed results. Curiosity led to Facebook. But curiosity in and of itself is a good thing. The first step on the road to seeing things in a new way. What if no one had ever been curious about whether the Earth was really flat? What if no one had ever been curious about this new preacher in town, that Jesus guy? What if, when he'd called his disciples to come and see, they'd said, "Nah, thanks, we're good." Curious Nick. Good for him. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He comes out of curiosity, wanting to know more, but he begins with a statement, not a question. "Rabbi," he says, "we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Well, that seems like a good start. Like, Nick and his buddies have been talking about Jesus and the miracles that in John's Gospels are always called signs, signs pointing to God. And they've come to a conclusion: Jesus must have come from God. Maybe Nick thought Jesus would praise him for his wisdom, but Jesus turns the tables, as he often does. Nick talks about Jesus having come from God, but Jesus is more interested in where Nick comes from. "Believe it," Jesus replies. "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born..." And here the confusion sets in. Jesus uses a word that is multi-layered. He could be saying born from above, or born anew, or born again, or all three. But it's that last meaning that Nicodemus latches on to. Born again. Okay, what? How can a grown person be born again? And Nick gets kind of literal here. Can a person climb back into their mother's body and come out again? Seriously, dude. Maybe Nick just wants to argue, have a good logical give and take. But I think he really does want to know what Jesus means. He's risked something to slink about at night to find Jesus. And now he's confused. Jesus tells him, as Nick understands it, that he needs to be born again, and he just wants to know how he's supposed to do that. But how is the wrong question, because Jesus gives him a pretty long and confusing reply, which isn't really an answer. It's true, listen to me. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind, another word, remember, for the spirit, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. How? Nick asked again. I imagine Jesus giving a shout of laughter and then shaking his head fondly at his night visitor. Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you don't understand these things? Really? Jesus gently rebukes him and patiently tries again. But why should Nick get it when generation upon generation of Christians haven't gotten it either? For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Some of the most beautiful and beloved words in Scripture. But people get obsessed with being born again. And they focus on that first verse, John 3:16. You see it at football games, right? And they forget the rest. We get stuck on what's become a quick and easy mantra. If I believe, I'll have eternal life. If I'm born again, I'll be saved. We forget that Jesus next says he wasn't sent to condemn the world, but to save it. The whole world. the cosmos in the Greek, a term used for everything that's hostile to God's will, as scholar David Lose points out. He adds that we might capture the force of this verse by putting it this way. God so loved the whole God-hating world so much that he sent his son to save it. Nicodemus, as far as we know, had no response to that. Nick at night. Curious Nick. Nick and I. Because scared, curious, brave, humble, not quite getting it yet, Nicodemus is a lot like I am. I mean, a lot like most of us at one time or another. We come making our way here on a Sunday morning, not exactly under cover of darkness, sure. But do we come bringing friends, or do we come alone? Just us, maybe our family. Do we come because we've always come, or because this is really where we want to be, worshiping God in the light of day? Like Nick, we've slipped away from our ordinary lives and come. And don't get me wrong, that's a good thing. Like Nick, we're here. You're all here with your questions and your needs, and that's good too. We are like Nick. We come wanting to know how. What must we do? How can you help us, God? How will you make things right? We pray so earnestly for brothers and sisters in this church and in the world. We can even grow hopeless about this world, this life. Maybe we forget sometimes that eternal life begins here and now. If we open ourselves to the Spirit, if we are born anew, again, from above, but we can't birth ourselves. Being born from above again and again, that's God's work, God's labor, birthing us anew. And faith is a gift from God. But we still have a role to play. I mean, you've probably heard birth stories, proud new moms saying things like, I was hardly in labor at all. It's like she couldn't wait to be born. Or it was like he didn't want to come out. Guess he liked it in there. At some point, we do have to decide whether to go with the flow. And as Marcus Borg points out, being born again involves being born into an identity centered in God, Christ, the Spirit. This experience can be sudden and dramatic, but for the majority of us, I suspect, he says, it is a more gradual and incremental process, a process that goes on throughout a lifetime, perhaps a process that occurs several times in a lifetime. Indeed, it is even sometimes a daily rhythm in that daily remembering of God. Nicodemus comes to Jesus under cover of darkness. He has a very confusing conversation and maybe leaves more puzzled than when he'd arrived. But it's not the last we hear of Nick. Later, when there's talk among the religious leaders in Jerusalem of arresting Jesus, Nicodemus weighs in. He says, our law doesn't judge people without first giving them a hearing, does it? Well, that may not sound like a powerful defense of Jesus, but it was enough to make others say, what? Are you from Galilee too? Nick was coming out of the safety of darkness into the light. And we hear of him one last time in this gospel after the torture and death of Jesus. The gospel says that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the religious authorities, Joseph asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed Jesus' body. Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus at night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 100 pounds. Those were the burial spices for anointing the body. I mean, sure, maybe if you expected the resurrection, that seemed like a lot of spice. But why should this secret disciple Nicodemus get it when the inner circle didn't? Not yet. Understanding or not, still in partial darkness or not, he was there, Nick, with his bags of spice mix, doing the best thing, the only thing he could think of for the young rabbi who'd come from God. And if Nick wasn't quite ready or able to recognize his own heavenly heritage, his own spiritual birth, he was on the way. It doesn't always happen in a moment, being born from above, born of water and the Spirit, born afresh. The journey of faith seldom follows a straight path. We flounder and lose our way. We set our sights on what the world can offer, and we find ourselves left high and dry. Until, by God's good grace, we remember our heavenly heritage and humbly, sometimes hesitantly, like the prodigal child approaching his father, like Nick at night, we find our way home. And sometimes finding our way home means leaving home. Abraham and Sarah placed their trust in God, leaving behind all they knew, letting themselves be led by God's Spirit, God's breath, God's wind. They were blessed because through them, we all have been blessed. Think of that. We have to let go in order to be born by the Spirit. We have to let go of what we think we know, what we think we should do, even sometimes of what we thought God had called us to. We have to let go and allow ourselves to be borne aloft by God's untamable Spirit, pushed out of the darkness into the brightness of new eternal life, lived out in the presence of the one who loves us and loves the whole wide world. In this season of Lent, as we look towards the cross, the place where we see God's love made perhaps most visible, most tangible, as the days lengthen and new life springs up all around us, it's a good time to let go and allow ourselves to be blown where God chooses. Like a newborn infant taking that first gasping breath, breathing in life eternal, life abundant, right here, right now, born anew into God's beloved world. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.